In your bulletin there, you'll see the verse of the month. Let's say it together, reference, verse, and reference. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. I think it's easy to lose sight of what this verse is really saying without the context. Let me turn there just briefly. This won't take long, I promise. Hebrews 13:15. The verses before it, verse 12, says, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The first two words caught my attention this morning as I was looking at this. By him. When we think of giving thanks and offering sacrifice, when I think of that, I usually think of me doing that. I am offering to God. What does it say? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. See, even in worshiping God, we should be doing it by him. It's through his power. It's as a result of his word. It's as a result of his Holy Spirit in our lives that we do anything. And we should be giving him the credit, even in the things that we think we're doing. We should be giving God the credit and the praise. It was an interesting thought. I wasn't sure how else to explain it. But it really hit me this morning. By him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Let's say this verse again together, reference, verse, and reference. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Hebrews 13:15. This time we'll have our missions focus.
Good morning, everyone. I sent a text to Jim Fry, and things are busy up there, and I also have a few notes here, so I'll share with you what's been happening at Servant's Heart Camp. As most of you already know, but some maybe not, the Brubakers have been called to Faith Bible Church there to be pastor of evangelism, so they will be leaving Servant's Heart Camp and moving on to that ministry. So Jim said to pray for that. Dan did all the, he was the activities director, so it leaves a big hole in the staff that they have. So be in prayer for that item. Also here he mentioned a praise. He says, recently some friends of Servant's Heart Camp came to camp and asked if there were any projects that they could provide in honor of their parents or grandparents. I showed them several potential projects that we would love to accomplish around the camp. A few days later, they contacted us indicating they would like to provide the funds for the lights to the guys' cabin area and up to the RV sites. Right now, what they have is just some temporary lighting, the construction lights with the plastic guards around them, and they're going to put up a nice-looking outdoor light that'll be a more permanent situation for them there. And Jim also had this letter dated November 11th, 2020. I thought I'd share it with you. It's called U-Turn. On Saturday morning, we left for our first recruitment camp. When we arrived at Indiana Baptist College, we took two of our previous staff, Kylan Hadley and Caleb Walker, along with two of their friends, out for some hamburgers, French fries, cheese curds, and some amazing ice cream. Sounds good. It was super encouraging to fellowship with these students and hear how God is working in their lives. On Sunday morning, we shared about God's work at Servant's Heart Camp with the people at Harvest Baptist Church. We had a wonderful time of good food and fellowship in the Hadley home and after church. Monday morning, I had the opportunity to preach in chapel at IBC from Isaiah 58:11, which starts with, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually." In the afternoon, after having some good interaction with some of the students, we departed for the next leg of our recruitment trip to Baptist College of Ministry. During this time, Mrs. Fry, Pat, started to feel very poorly. We chatted and prayed and even pulled off the road to study the symptoms of COVID. Although the symptoms she was having were certainly not conclusive, we decided to be safe and make a U-turn and return home. As we drove in the opposite direction from what we really wanted to be driving, we comforted ourselves in the verse that said, "And the Lord will guide thee continually." As we arrived at home, Pat's doctor was hesitant even to give a COVID test because the symptoms did not seem to indicate COVID. Finally, he consented to have her go to the clinic and have a test. Just this morning, we received a call that the test was positive. He says, "Please pray for the individuals, families, and ministries that we may have infected in this asymptomatic phase of the virus." So as it goes, as Pastor said, we're all tired of this, myself included. And but pray for Jim and Pat Fry. I think they're doing okay. Did Pat come through it okay? All right, Jim didn't mention it. And so praise the Lord, they're through that well. So let's look to the Lord and lift up some requests this morning here for Servant's Heart Camp. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you that you guide us every step of the way. Thank you that Jim and Pat are through this COVID, Lord, that they had, Lord, were infected with. Lord, I just pray that you'd guide and direct them, Lord, work in their lives, Lord. Thank you that they were able to contact some people there and make some progress towards staffing the camp this summer. We do lift up the need for Dan and Liz Brubaker, Lord, in their absence, Lord, the need for an activities director. I pray that you would supply this much-needed staff position for Servant's Heart Camp, Lord. Just guide and direct in that, Lord. I pray for some more bunk beds, Lord, that Jim would like to put in some of the cabins. I pray that you would work that out, Lord, that he'd have some volunteers that would be able to help him with that situation as well. I pray also for wisdom as they move forward, also with quizzing, Lord. Lord, due to this COVID virus, there's some that want to do quizzing much different and some that want to keep it the way that it is, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you give wisdom and guidance, Lord. May there be able to be some unity in what they decide there, Lord. Just bless Jim and Pat as they go through this winter, Lord. Continue to give them health and strength. Meet their needs, Lord, this summer as they anticipate campers. Pray that they'll be able to have a full camping season. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing number 75, Sing Praise to God, hymn number 75 together. Sing praise to God who reigns above, the God of all creation, the God of power, the God of love, the God of our salvation. With healing balm my soul he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory. What God's almighty power hath made, his gracious mercy keepeth. By morning glow or evening shade, his watchful eye ne'er sleepeth. Within the kingdom of his might, lo, all is just and all is right. To God all praise and glory. And the last. Thus all my toilsome way along, I sing aloud his praises, that all may hear the grateful song my voice unwearied raises. Be joyful in the Lord my heart, both soul and body bear your part. To God all praise and glory.
Time in the morning for our scripture reading. Back in the book of Proverbs today, Proverbs chapter 16, verses 17 through 33. I've asked that you stand and follow along as I read. Proverbs chapter 16, verses 17 to 33. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. The wise heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increaseth learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leads him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes and devises froward things. Moving his lips, he brings evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is with the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. You may be seated.
This time we're going to take up our morning offering as we give unto the Lord portion that he's blessed us with. It's an opportunity that we can give back to God what he's given to us. The Lord loves what?
Cheerful
giver, absolutely. And it's a blessing we can give in a land of plenty, and God is very gracious to us. We're going to sing the doxology, and after we finish singing that, Victor, if you'd ask the blessing on our offering here this morning. And this may this doxology be just a prayer from our heart to God for what he's done for us as his people. Let's sing the doxology here this morning.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Victor, would you ask the blessing this morning for us?
Oh, Father God, we thank you for this time where we can come together before your God and worship you. Oh, dear God, we thank you for your holy words, what you sent to us, oh God. Bless a pastor like you bring a message. May your words will fall in good soil in our hearts, oh God. We give you thanks for that, oh God. And we pray for the offering. My offering be blessed by you, oh God. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandy. Open your Bibles here this morning to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17. And for those of you that are interested in Bible trivia, this is the center verse of the book of Proverbs. Whatever that's worth to you, if that makes your day, it is the center verse of the verse of Proverbs. And verse 17 says, chapter 16, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul or his life. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Father, as the saints of God, we gather around your word here this morning. And I thank you that your word is truth, God, and it's forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Father, we hold this treasure in our hands, the eternal word of God. Father, help us be men and women who study the word of God to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that's not ashamed because we know how to handle the word of God. So Lord, bless us as our hearts are gathered here today. And may the Lord Jesus Christ receive the honor and glory for everything is said and done. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your son and your word. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, the word of God that we have, we ask your blessing upon us here this morning as the saints of God. We pray this in Jesus' holy and righteous name. Amen. chapter 16, verse 17, the highway of the upright. You know, we, all of us here this morning, we took some roads or some highway to get here this morning. I'd like to talk here for a minute about a road that's down in North Carolina. And the name of that road is the Road to Nowhere. And it has a name that's very applicable. I want to tell you why it's called the Road to Nowhere. In the 1930s and 40s, Swain County gave up the majority of its private land to the federal government for the creation of Fontana Lake and the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. Fontana Lake is actually a reservoir for the Fontana Dam, which was built as a TVA project during World War II to produce electricity for the Alcoa aluminum plant in Tennessee, as well as Oak Ridge National Laboratory Manhattan Project. Hundreds of people were forced to leave the small Smoky Mountain community that had been their home for generations. With the creation of the park, their homes are gone. Old Highway 288, the road to those communities, the old road was buried beneath the deep waters of the Fontana Lake. Well, guess what? Our federal government was promised to replace Highway 288 and the new road. Lakeview Drive was what it was going to be called, and it was supposed to go along the north shore of Fontana Lake and make its way back to these communities so people can get in. They had worked on this road for years and years and years. And finally, over the course of time, environmental issues came into play, and they deemed it too expensive to keep construction. And the road was stopped after only 6 miles of being built after all those years. The road work was never resumed. They built a tunnel, and if you go on that road, you can travel for 6 miles. It goes to the tunnel and just stops. And it's called Lakeview Drive by the post office, but all the people that live there call it the Road to Nowhere. It goes nowhere. It just goes and ends at a tunnel. And, you know, that's not good to have all this money, time spent for a road to nowhere. But what about your life? Are you on a road? What if your life is a road to nowhere? You've put all this investment, planning, money, time, but it goes nowhere, a road to nowhere. Well, verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17 says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. The highway of the upright. As we travel in life, what kind of road are we on? Well, I want to tell you this much. God provides a road for you as believers. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. God has a road for you to travel on, a highway for him. He wants you to be on this road, and as we're driving on this road, so to speak, the highway, the pathway, the highway of the upright. Now, those that are upright are those that know God. And those that know God, how do you know God? Well, you invite Jesus Christ in your life, repent of your sins, you believe he died on the cross, buried and rose again from the dead, and you can be saved. You're a Christian, the upright. You're standing in an upright manner toward God. You're living your life in such a way that you honor him. The opposite of the upright would be the wicked, children of darkness, those that love evil rather than righteousness. But for us as God's people, the highway of the upright, God has a way that he wants us to travel. to be upright people. Now, on highways, they have guardrails, do they not? Have you ever gotten mad at a guardrail? Maybe if you hit it, you may have got mad at it, but guardrails, what is the purpose of a guardrail?
Protection,
keep you on the road. Now, I can remember as a kid that we were driving up in the mountains with my family in the car, and I remember looking over the side of the mountain. When you're a little kid, that looked like it's way down there. And I remember the guardrails that were there, and that gave me some comfort that if we somehow, you know, the car started going the wrong way, we'd hit that guardrail, and that comforted me, that would keep me there. The highway, the upright. You know, in the Christian life, God has some guardrails for us. What's a guardrail? How about his commandments? Thou shalt not. Is that a guardrail? Does that keep you from going off the road spiritually and crashing and going down the mountain? That's a guardrail. And if you find yourself cursing the guardrails, you got a spiritual problem. Because God puts the commandments there so that we don't go off the side of the road and crash. The highway, the upright. You know, God provides things for us in our life. The highway, the upright. God puts guardrails for us to keep us on track. Now, our political system in our country has imploded in some ways, or exploded. I don't know which way you want to say it. It's a mess. But I tell you, it's not that we so much have a political problem, which we do, but there's a deeper issue. We have a spiritual problem as a nation. That is the deeper issue. The guardrails that God put into our country, our nations, our family, our founding fathers put in to keep us on this highway, they have been dismantled and removed, and people are going off the edge, right and left, all over the place. And we see the carnage. We see the wrecks, so to speak. We see all the problems because the guardrails have not been honored that were put there. When you start removing the guardrails, guess what happens? People start going off the edge of the road. You know, God, the highway of the upright, God gives us a way and protections to guide us. When we remove the guardrails, so to speak, spiritually, we're in trouble. And morally, the nation has gone downhill. Somebody said we're in a moral free fall. What does that mean? Well, God says what's right and wrong. If we honor the Bible, we have God's blessing, we have God's understanding, and we know where we're going and what we're doing as a nation. The minute you remove the scriptures from our society. During Christmas time, we have a certain group of people in our nation, they want to remove the manger scene from public squares. Now, I find it hard to believe that a baby in a manger can be much of a threat to our society. If you understand what I'm saying? But do they get upset about it? And do they try to? Absolutely. Somebody once said, yeah, I know why they're so upset. There's no wise men among them. So whatever you want to pick out of that, okay, that's why they're so upset. I don't know. Maybe that's true. Maybe it's not true. I don't know. Maybe that's why they're so upset at the manger scenes. But it's a battle. And you know what we need to do as God's people? Make sure the guardrails stay up. Okay? Now, for my neighbor, I can encourage him, but I can't make him. But the only person I can ever really make do anything is me. And in my own life, if God puts guardrails up, they're there for a reason. And I want to make sure I stay between them. Because the minute you start banging into a guardrail, you're going to have problems. And the highway, the upright, because I'm an upright person, I know God. Now, as you travel in life, so to speak, by way of illustration, God's, you know, in a car, we have a check engine light. Everybody loves their check engine lights, right? If you want to hear a check engine light story, just ask Bob Holderman. He's got a bunch of check engine light stories. He can tell you all about them. They're his favorite thing. That little yellow light, bing, comes on. He just loves it so much. Now, in the Christian life, you know, the check engine light, you know what that is for us on the highway of the upright? That's our conscience. If something's not right happening on the inside, that little light comes on, bink, and it tells you something's not right. And if we drive down the highway of our life and we don't take notice of that check engine light on. Now, I knew a girl one time, name was Linda. She called me up on a Saturday morning. She said, Andy, I'm having problems with my car. I said, well, Linda, what's happening? She says, it just stopped. And I said, well, where are you at? She said, Timberlake Road. And I said, well, what did the motor sound like? She goes, well, it started making a real funny noise and started clunking and banging. And I said, Linda, that didn't sound good. I said, did anything on your dashboard come up? She said, yeah, this little red light come up. And I said, well, what did it look like? It said it looked like an oil can. And I said, Linda, that doesn't sound good. I said, try to start your car. I said, what does it do? She says, well, when I turn the key, it just goes clunk, clunk. And I said, oh, Linda, it sounds like your motor's locked up. That wasn't what she wanted to hear. But you know what she did? She drove for a long time with that light on. Do you know what I'm saying? And if you ignore the light long enough, something's going to give. And on the highway of the upright, when that little light comes on, we need to take notice of that. Because in our Christian lives, God wants us to be successful. He wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be blessed. He wants us to have a life that honors Him, the highway of the upright. But as we travel, He gives us that light that comes on, so to speak, that check engine light. And it's there for a reason, our conscience. You know, the Apostle Paul, when he stood before King Agrippa, he says, I've lived my life always to have a good conscience toward God and toward my fellow man. That is a high calling. You have a good conscience. You're doing everything toward God and you're doing everything toward man. I don't have a bad conscience toward anybody. If I've offended somebody, Paul's saying, I made it right. If I took something from somebody that didn't belong to me and I realized it later, I made it right. I gave it back. He had a good conscience. Now, for some people, the only reason they have a good conscience is they got a bad memory. Okay, that's the only reason they have a good conscience. Okay, you got a bad memory. But I will say this, when God pricks your memory and that check engine light comes on, bink, and it's flashing at you, if you ignore it long enough, something's going to give. It's probably not going to be good. Because what you don't want to end up with is a hardened heart. That's a bad place to be. And Paul said, I want to have a good conscience. You know, the highway, the upright. You know, God wants us to be successful and to travel that road upright. Now, the road to nowhere, we don't want to be on it. But for us as God's people, where does the highway, the upright take us to eventually? Where it takes us to heaven eventually. The farmer had a sign on his barn. He said, at the end of the road, you meet God. Is that a true sign? That is a true sign. At the end of the road, you're going to meet God. And in Amos, it says, prepare to meet thy maker. You know, all of us one day, this highway of the upright, we're going to meet God at the end of it. So if we're going to meet God at the end of the highway of the upright, okay, we're going to meet God at the end of that highway. What's the rest of the verse say? Is to depart from evil. Now, in our Christian life, we grow. And that's called sanctification. That's putting off the old, putting on the new. That's sanctification. I heard that friend Tom years ago. He shared this little gold nugget with me. Do you like gold nuggets? I like them. He said, the closer you get to the light, the more dirt you see. And I said to myself, that's so true. Because in your Christian life, God moves you along and you see things. And then He moves you along more and you see more things. And then the closer you get to God, He's light, you're going to see more things in your life. On that highway, as God is working in our lives, He wants us to depart from evil. He doesn't want us to be like evil people. Who defines evil? God does. If God doesn't define evils, we're back in the book of Judges, and every man did what was what? Right in his own eyes. See, we can't live like that, because you have anarchy then. And that's why we need a source of authority, the scriptures God gives to us. We depart from evil. How do I know somebody's saved? Well, there's lots of ways. If you're saved, you're going to have a desire to please God. And somebody said it like this, your wanter changes. When I was unsaved, I wanted to do this. When I got saved, I want to do this now. Your wanter changes. And the highway, the upright, depart from evil. We don't live like the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We don't live after those things anymore. The highway, the upright, is to depart from evil. Now, in the Christian life, Okay, we got our cars. We're familiar with them. They all have a steering wheel, right? You have a steering wheel. You get saved. You invite Jesus Christ into your car, so to speak, of your life. Now, for some people, this is what they do. They like to have Jesus in the back seat. Okay? Now, why do they like to have him in the back seat? That way, when I'm driving my life, if I want to do something, and it's nice to have him close by in an emergency, but it gives me freedom to do what I want to do as long as he's in the back seat. Jesus doesn't like to be a backseat driver. Okay? And not only that, not only does he not want to be a backseat driver, he wants to sit up where you're sitting. And not only does he want to sit up where you're sitting up front, but as you have your steering wheel, you know what you say when you get up in the morning? Lord, where do you want to go today? What do you want me to do today? Because sometimes we have Jesus, but we're just steering our own life, and he's just in the backseat. Or maybe sitting up front with us a little closer, but we just do what we want to do. When Jesus in the garden, he prayed, not my will, but what? Thy will be done. Are you a Christian? What you do, you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Thy will be done in my life. And the highway of life, you know, as God is with us, he wants to have complete control. And what do you call that? Sanctification is when you're putting off sin, putting on Christ. But before you get there, you got to have a point in your life called surrender. And that's when you give Christ the steering wheel of your life and you say, Lord, where do you want to go today? What do you want to do today? You want me to turn right? I'll turn right. You want me to turn left? I'll turn left. What do you want me to do today? See, on that highway of life, it's God in me, Jesus in me. That's how you know you're Christians, Christ in me. Now, turn to Galatians chapter 2 here, just for a minute here. And how did the Apostle Paul express this? Book of Galatians, chapter 2. How do you say it? This is another, in Sunday school, we'll talk about Romans 8:28 as life verse. I've had many people say this is their life verse. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. What does that mean? It means that when Christ died on the cross, you are identified with him. That your sins and his, that he died for your sins. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but who lives in me? That's a sanctified, surrendered life. That's when Christ lives in you, he's got the steering wheel of your life and he's steering your life and you and him cooperate together. It's Christ in you. You're there. He's there. It's Christ in you. You live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me, the Christ-like life. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. And what's those next three words? Who what? Who love me. You let that sink in. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? Keep my commandments. You know how I can tell if you're on the highway of life? If you love him and you're keeping his commandments. See, that's how you know one of the ways you're saved. If you really love him, you're going to keep his commandments. And guess what? His commandments aren't burdensome. And guess what? The guardrails that he puts in, they don't grind you. You're glad they're there. Those guardrails keep you safe spiritually. You don't get mad at the guardrails and cuss them out. They're there for a purpose. God gives you those commandments because they help us know how to please God. And how do we please God and love him? We obey him. By the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you, how deep is that verse? It's as deep as Almighty God. See, people that appreciate their salvation, to whom little is forgiven, the same what? Loveth little. If you know you've been forgiven of your sins, and you know all your sins have been cast in the depths of the sea, and you know when you stand before God and God's going to say to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant, that ought to mean something to you. Now, you're not saved by your feelings, but you better have some feelings about your salvation because he loved you enough he sacrificed his own son for you. You're not saved by your feelings, but you better have some feelings about your salvation if you're on that highway of life. See, this Galatians 2:20 is huge. And that is so much like the steering wheel of my life. I'm on that highway. God, what do you want me to do? I'm a surrendered vessel. God, I'm just going to do your will. See, that's the Christian life. We're surrendered to him. His will is working through us. It's Christ in me. Turn back over here to Proverbs here again. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul or his life. Now, on this highway here of life, there's some names on this highway. How about the, have you ever seen highways have names? You know what I'm talking about? They have names. How about the highway of grace? You ever traveled on there? How about the highway of mercy? Have you been on that road? I've been on there. How about the highway of hope? How about the highway of help? You know, those are the road names we travel on as believers. God is with us. And these road names are there for us to encourage us in our way. You know, God has a highway for the upright, and he gives us these names as we travel. We say, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your hope. Thank you for your help. The names of the highways. And you know you're on the right highway when you depart from evil. Where did we say earlier that highway leads to? To heaven. And Jesus said, when we get to heaven, it's like the sheep cove, and you enter one by one. And the shepherd looking and checking, make sure all them are his sheep. He calls us all by name. What if somebody was to get to the end of the road they're traveling on, and they find that their driver's license is illegal. They find their vehicle registration is illegal. They've been traveling without insurance their whole life. Everything they should have done to be proper and right is all messed up. Now, on the highway of life, there's hypocrites, imposters, and people that put on a good show. But at the end of the road, when the Lord says, let me see your credentials here. Ah, I don't see where you ever repented of your sins. I don't see where you ever believed on Christ. I don't see where you departed from evil. That's going to be a sad day at the end of the road. Because in our life, we don't have a life that's a road to nowhere. We have a life that's taking us somewhere. And where we go, we got to make sure that if we are asked for our credentials on this highway of life, that we got them, that we know. Now, for the Christian life here, when we're saved and we're surrendered, we're sanctified, we're serving God, that's what God wants us to be. Now, on this highway of life for God, Satan's going to put up some exit signs. Turn here. Now, God's GPS, so to speak, keeps straight. Satan puts up a sign that says, bridge out in 5 miles, bridge out in 3 miles, bridge out in 1 mile. He says, turn here now. And you say, God's map here doesn't say anything about a bridge. And by faith, you just obey God and you get there. And guess what? There's no bridge there. It's out. Satan was just wanting you to take a detour. And we've got to be so careful that Satan will put up a lot of exit signs for us, so to speak. Turn here. And he wants to deceive those that are on the highway of righteousness. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. You know what Satan wants? He wants you to take an exit to go down this evil path. He that keepeth his way, all right, you're on it. You're saying, this doesn't sound right to me. You can have a man and a woman. Now, man and woman, they agree all the time about everything, right? Is that how it works? That's not how it works, is it? Okay. Can it get really bad at times? It can get really bad at times. But for the Christian, I tell you, there's one thing that's never put on the table for a Christian home, and that's the word divorced. It's never put there. You just take it and cut it right out of your dictionary. Because for that's not an option for a Christian. What God has joined together, let no man what? Put asunder. One man for one woman for one lifetime. That's a marriage. Now, Satan would say, hey, take this exit here. Go down the road of divorce. It'll be better for you. And I knew a woman one time. She was having problems in her marriage. And everybody she worked with at her workplace had been divorced before. And guess what every one of them told her to do? Get a divorce. And my counsel to her was, you don't go down this road. See, that's an exit a lot of people want to take off the highway. And they think it'll work out better. Studies have shown 5 years later, if you make your marriage work, you're much better off than those that get a divorce and get remarried. It just doesn't work out for good. God is wise. God says, matter of fact, he says, I hate what? Divorce. That's how God feels about it. That's the highway of life. For the Christian, you just don't take that exit. You just don't go down that road. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way, see, Satan, he's a tempter. He'll put a snare before you. But what you want to do is preserve your soul. You want to preserve your life. You don't fall for his traps. If you want to be wise to Satan, make sure you know the scriptures. Because if you don't know the scriptures, guess what? He's got a playground to play in your heart. Because every time Jesus tempted Matthew 4, what did he say to him? It is what? It is written. And you got to know the word of God. Because Satan can lie to you and make it sound so good to get you to take that exit off the highway of life. God doesn't want you to take that exit. It sounds so good. He can make it sound so appealing. Oh, this will work out. The highway of the upright, you're saved, you know God, is to depart from evil. God says, be holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul, his life. Isaiah 35, chapter 35, verse 8. And highway shall be there, a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Isaiah 35, 8. You know, God has a highway for us as God's people. It's a righteous highway. Life passes so quickly here. So quickly. Depart from evil. You know, this verse, now, you take verse 17, you can tie it into verse 18, you can tie it into verse 19, you can tie it into verse 20, you can tie it into verse 21. The way of the upright. How does an upright person live? Pride, look at verse 18. Pride goes before what? Destruction. A haughty spirit before what? A fall. Now, I want to be successful in the highway of life. How do I do that? How do I depart from evil? Don't be a proudful person. Now, what are some hallmarks of a proudful person? They know it all. Is that true? A proudful person, you can't tell them anything. And you try to tell them something, and guess what? They push back at you. I know it. Don't tell me. A proudful person looks down on others. We are the people. Remember Job's friends? Job got a little fed up with him at one point. Job said to his friends that came to comfort him, how'd he word it? He goes, you are the people, and wisdom will die with you. That's how he said it. You are the people, and wisdom will die with you. He couldn't tell them anything. They thought they knew. But guess what? At the end of the day, guess who God honored? Job. And guess who God rebuked? His friends. Because they thought they knew it all. Pride goes before what? Destruction. You know, do you have a teachable spirit? So if you want to stay on that highway, you got to listen to people older than you who've been down this road, who can teach the younger, hey, I've been there, I've done that, it don't work. It looks good, sounds good, but it don't work. See, a younger person needs to gravitate toward older people who have the wisdom and experience. Look at verse 31 of chapter 16. The gray head, the hoary head, that's the gray hair head, is a crown of glory. If it be found in the way of righteousness. If you grow old and you're a righteous person, you're a reservoir of truth and wisdom to a younger generation. And you can help them. But you can't help a younger generation if they don't have a what? An ear to hear. You can say, I've got, this will work, this will help you. But if they don't hear you, you're just talking to the wall. You might as well be talking to a telephone pole. They're not going to hear you. The way of the upright, the highway of the upright, is to depart from evil. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. You got to choose your friends. You want to stay on that highway? Who are your friends? Who are you running with? People that are humble, teachable, glorify God, honor God. Verse 20, he that handles the matter wisely, handles the word of God wisely, shall find good. And whosoever trusts in the Lord, happy is him. You want to stay on that highway? Know the word of God. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lip increases learning. You know, as you grow in your Christian life, this highway, God is working. You know, all these verses, if you take that verse, you can just build on each one down that verse, right down the row. I'd like to close with this illustration here this morning. Rosie Ruiz. Does that mean anybody? Anything? Does that name mean to anybody? Do you know who that is? April 21st, 1980, this 26-year-old woman from New York finished among the first marathon women running in a near record time. In just over 2.5 hours, she ran the Boston Marathon. Just a little over 2.5 hours. And it was amazing. And to the observers at the finish line, Rosie Ruiz must have seemed like the fittest athlete ever to run the Boston Marathon. When she got across the finish line there, she was barely sweating. She didn't have any sweat. Her hair was still looked nice. And everybody was just amazed. How did she do this? Well, you know how she did it? She rode the subway. For real. She started the race. She ran off course, got on the subway, went all the way up to the end, got off, got back in the race, and ran across the finish line. One of her friends years later confessed that she said that they were so surprised she won. She goes, I was more surprised than they were. She just jumped back in the race, had no idea that she was going to be the first woman across the line. She was so surprised when they said, you won the woman's part of this. She was astounded. She was more surprised than they were. She just jumped back into the race. There's an old saying, winners never cheat and cheaters never win. See, your life that you're on, stay on that highway, that run that you, and do it God's way. Because you get off and you think you got a shortcut to win, guess what? Behold, your sin will what? Find you. And they found out pretty quick. It wasn't 8 days later they stripped her of her medal because there was no pictures of her running. It just fell apart so quickly. One interviewer there that had run a lot of marathons and was very well known said, what was your interval times? She didn't even know what that was. For a marathon runner, that's crucial. You know, your intervals, how your pace. She didn't even know what that was. They were very suspicious. And for God's people, do it God's way. What does verse 17 say? It says, the highway of who? The upright. You be an upright person. You live right, you do right, and God's going to honor you at the end. Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter in the joy of the Lord. That's the way God wants us to be. Let us pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we live this life on this highway of life, God, may we be upright people that do what's right in your sight. And Father, our nation is in turmoil because too many unrighteous people have power and authority over us that don't understand the guardrails, that don't understand lying and cheating is wrong, that don't understand that this is not going to do us good as a nation. But Lord, our nation is made up of individuals, God, men and women who get up each morning and live in our society. And Father, you want us as believers to be salt and light in this generation. God, you want us to be men and women who are upright, who do the right thing at the right time in the right way with the right motive, knowing that the righteous God will reward us one day. Lord, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. God, may we hate evil. May we see evil as being evil and never be part of it, God. Lord, our sins will find us out sooner or later. And Father, maybe we be wise men and women and turn from evil and turn to righteousness because we bear your name. Lord, I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ who suffered on the cross, who was buried and rose again from the dead. Because he lives, we shall live also. And Lord, you put all the sins of the world on him that we can be free. God, he loved us. And that's why we obey you, God, because you saved us and you've given us a home in heaven. So, Lord, help us this week to live as men and women of truth, of righteousness, of holiness on the highway of life. And, Father, help us never be ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, Lord, bless us toward that end. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.